just to kind of catch everyone up, in the series that we're in at the moment, we're thinking about what it means to live for God in a new land. The past 18 months, I don't know about for you, but certainly for us, have been a time of profound change. And many of us are still experiencing turbulence or uncertainty. The kind of ripples are still rippling, aren't they? And when we think about life and our shared life as a church, we know that there are things that we've deeply missed over this time, and other things not so much. Rotas, am I right, Julia? Yeah, there we go. We can't and wouldn't want to just go back. But what does going forward together look like? We sense we're moving into a new land of promise called on by God's Spirit. Some things are recognizable, others different and unfamiliar. How do we live for God here? Happily, we're not the first people of faith to have grappled with this. People right across the big story of the Bible found themselves in strange lands. We're a pilgrim people, after all. We want to learn all we can from their lives, their encounters with God, growing in our faith and faithfulness as we seek to be the people God has called us to be right here and right now. As always, if you have questions about anything that I'm saying or about the wider passage, I'd be really happy to chat with you. Do find me after. In today's episode, we're with Moses and the people of Israel. They've been freed from their enslavement and forced work in Egypt, and they've been called on to the land promised to their forefather Abraham. God intends to bless them and through them to bless the whole world. And we find them in the wilderness, in the desert, on their way. But all isn't well. You could tell that from the reading, couldn't you? All is not well. This is a story of two complaints, and the first comes from a rabble who are hungry. Now, can I have the help of a rabble? Does anyone feel they could be a bit of a rabble this morning? If you would like to help be a rabble, you can do it from where you're seated. But also, if we could have a few people to come up to the front and, yep, go right ahead. Do you just want to stand in front of the chairs there? So feel free to come and do that. Adults, feel free to as well. Anyone can come be there. So if you're a rabble, we're going to be doing that kind of rumbling, that kind of yeah. And we're not happy, are we? We're having a bit of a strop. So great. You're a hungry rabble, okay? But this isn't just about empty stomachs, right? You've got manna to eat that God's providing you, but you're bored with it. You're craving other food. I don't know. Have you ever said to your parents, no, I don't want that. I want something else. You ever said that? Okay, there we go. Yeah. So it's a bit of that going on. And in a minute, some things are going to pop up on the screen. And I want you and anyone else who wants to join in to shout out what it is that you want. Okay, the first one is the hardest, but we'll go with that. So first one, please. What do you want? Water. Meat. Do you want? So can you say, we want meat? There we go. Okay, next one, please. We want fish. What else do you want? So yeah, this one, yeah. So it does look like a bit like a courgette, possibly a banana. It is meant to be a cucumber. There are different kinds of cucumbers. Bananas too, yeah, go for gold. Okay, what else do we want? Melons, yeah, there we go. We want melons. What else do you want? Onions, yep, great. And what else? We want garlic. You want garlic. And you are so unhappy about this that in your families, you are wailing at the entrances of your tents. Can you give me a bit of wailing? There is excellent wailing going on. This is fantastic. Okay, very good. Thank you. You can go have a sit down. Thank you for your help. So we remember that they said that we had fish in Egypt at no cost. And they're remembering the fish, but what are they forgetting? What was the cost? They were Slaves, of course they were. God has brought them out so they might be free, and he has a purpose for them, through them to bless the whole world. And they're thinking about garlic. Come on, come on. He's carried them. He's provided them. They have what they need, but not what they want. And I don't think it's even a problem that they had things that they wanted, right? We know that we're invited to talk to our Father in heaven. If there's stuff that we want, we can ask him and we can seek him. I think it's that their desire was leading them into rejecting the giver. We see that in verse 20. And that's the deeper point. This is and isn't about food. It's their in their craving for other food, they go to Moses to complain, and they're rejecting that giver of this bread from heaven. Jesus says in John 6 that it was his Father who gives us the true bread from heaven. Jesus is the true manna who comes down from heaven, the true bread from heaven. They're rejecting him and they're looking to another source to providing what their and our restless hearts often desire. And I'm taking a couple of things from that this morning. Could we go on to the next slide? Thanks. So first, I'm taking that we don't always move forward into the places that God's taking us into by always looking backwards. A while ago, I was walking along the street. I was walking along the street, as you do, walking. I heard something over my shoulder. I looked back. I carried on walking. What do you think happened? I walked into a lamppost. I walked into a lamppost. And do you know what? It hurt. It really hurt because I really didn't see it coming. What was I doing wrong? I wasn't looking where I was going. And I think, do you know what? We can be doing this, can't we? We absolutely should learn from the past. We're kind of, in a way, we're doing that this morning, aren't we? We can appreciate what we can from it. We can seek healing where we're carrying pain from our past. But we've got to watch out for this kind of selective or creative memory that the Israelites are doing here. They're kind of remembering part of it without the kind of the bigger picture. So we might find that we're kind of hankering after the old days or just remembering the good bits. And if we're doing that, we're likely to miss what God is doing now or reject him in the process. Now, that might be for some of us things kind of pre-pandemic. It might even be for things during the lockdowns or even from a long time ago. But we need to watch out for this selective memory. Number two, I think this kind of grumbling can come from a wrong view of God. So God was taking his people somewhere and, you know, they needed to trust him that it was for their good. You know, I keep saying this, that through them they were going to be receive blessing for the whole world. There was always a big picture purpose. But I think that some of them thought that God had promised them comfort and that he would kind of skirt them around hardship. And if that was what they were thinking, they'd missed what God was doing. So friends, what I want to say to us this morning is that God is with us even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They were brought through the Red Sea. They were brought through the wilderness, not around it. And sometimes we go through hard times. Sometimes it's because we're stupid. I walked into this lamppost and it hurt, you know, like, there was a lamppost, I walked into it, consequence, it hurt. You know, there we go. But I think, let's not think, though, that if we're walking through hardship, that means we've necessarily done something wrong or that God has abandoned us. God's presence was with them there. He provided for their needs. So if you're going through hardship, and I know that there are people who are, I know that we are, I pray that we will know the God who is with us and who provides us with our daily bread. That's my prayer for us this morning. If there's a restlessness in our spirit because we thought we'd kind of done a deal with God to secure a cushy life, we won't be willing to walk the way of Jesus, and we'll grumble when we're led that way by the Spirit. If that's us this morning, we need to change our thinking, don't we? We need to turn back to our Father who's with us. I think kind of sometimes we do get kind of stuck in the wilderness. We're like the Israelites who kind of end up going round and round in kind of circles and kind of cycles of trying and failing. But our hope is in Jesus because he did what we can't. Remember that he was led into the wilderness, and where Moses and Israel and so often we fail, he didn't give way to the desires that he was tempted with. He was fed by his father, sustained by his words. And we can receive him today. This is where I kind of want to, I don't know, I wish I was kind of Welsh. I want to kind of do a bread of heaven. Bread of heaven. Feed me now and evermore. Feed me now and evermore. He is our bread of heaven. And there's this one other bit that I want us to think about this morning. It's just on the next slide. Thanks, Peter. This is the second complaint. And this was a complaint from Moses. So notice the people in their frustration cried out to Moses. Moses gets a lot wrong. We can say that. He had an issue with anger, amongst other things. But here he cries out to God. The people went to Moses. Moses goes to God. He has a big old strop. I think that's the technical theological term for it. Tell me if you think I'm wrong about this. And it might not be the best way to put it. I don't think we could say it was particularly mature. But do you know what? I think he's going to God with what he's feeling. He says, this is how I'm feeling. And I don't see God rebuking him for doing that. And I think we need to be honest about this. Leaders get down. They get down if people are complaining. And this isn't to say we shouldn't bring our concerns to leaders or that they should be protected from criticisms. Leaders get stuff wrong, sometimes very wrong. But I think it's about the heart here. People get down when they feel they need to respond to others and meet all of the needs that are kind of coming at them. And people get down when they feel that meeting those needs is impossible. You know, you can hear Moses saying, where am I going to get all this meat, God? I kind of feel like he's, I'm going to put this down for a second. Sorry, people online. So that was, we're in a desert. Where's the meat going to come from for people online? That's kind of what I think he's kind of saying to God. You know, he's kind of not particularly using his imagination or I guess his past knowledge of God to think what God could do. But he's kind of looking at, this is something he has to do, right? He's thinking, how am I going to do it? We can hear the echoes forward of like, when the disciples come to Jesus and say, there are all these people, how are we going to feed them? They think it's on them, right? They think it's on them and their provision to be able to do it. And they think it's impossible. So we get down. We can get down when we feel like we're all in it alone, when we've got to somehow kind of make it happen. And he tells God, I'm done. I'd rather not keep going. And people who know what I mean here, know what I mean here. He might have said it in a hot-headed way in the moment, but even if we're very serious, I think we can say these things to God. We're going to our Father in heaven who knows our frame. That was part of what Emily was reading about this morning. He knows our frame. How does God respond? He responds by kind of multiplying leaders. In the same way he provided manna, he kind of says, look, I'm going to multiply leaders here and put my spirit on them. Because leading people through a wilderness is not a solo task. And walking through the wilderness, if that's something we feel like we're going through, isn't a solo task. And I want to just, if you're here, remember back to Maria's talk when we were thinking about putting on the armor of God. And this wasn't a picture of a solo soldier. It was about a group together. And one of the things that I'm taking from this this morning is I think that God wants to do something in our church story, in the church in the world today, about kind of multiplying leaders in the wilderness. Young people and old people, people from every nation who speak all different languages. God wants to call people up and multiply leaders who will stand, empowered by his spirit to share the load in his care, in God's care for his people, for Exeter, for the nations, for this world. I see people who are struggling on our own, and God would say to you, let me put you in community to share the load. In this story, the Spirit rested on them, and those leaders, they prophesied, but they didn't again. And more happens. Moses gets mad, says, and you know, again, I think in anger, he says, I wish that all God's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit on all of them. We live in the days when God has poured out his Spirit on all people, right? God's Spirit is on us and in us. So we live in those days. And I think God's saying to us today, kind of rise up, church. My Spirit is on you. We're going to be coming to communion. And so we're coming as we have communion today to Jesus, to our bread of life, our manna come down from heaven. I'm just going to pray. Father, we confess our failings. We confess where our hearts are not grateful for what you provide, for when we don't come to you with our desires, but we turn from you to other sources, when we reject you. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave yourself for us. You walked the path that we could not. You can meet us in the wilderness. You can sustain us. You can lead us and call us up to lead in the power of your Spirit. We receive you today, Jesus. Amen.